introduce my family that is with me and tell you a little bit about our church back in America and how we sent Bill and Marcia here. But for lack of time in the Sunday school hour, I would like to get right to the teaching. When we flew over to Manila, it was 21 hours in the air. That's a long time to be in an airplane. Some of you maybe have flown before, and it's a long time. I would like to use an illustration this morning to kind of launch what I'm going to teach on. Let's say that you and me got into an airplane, and we sat down in the airplane. And as we sat down in the airplane, down below where we put our feet, there were two pedals for us to pedal. And the lady or gentleman came by and we asked, why are the pedals here on the airplane? And she said, well, the pilot has agreed to get you up to 30,000 feet in the air, but then you have to keep yourself up there by pedaling for the next 21 hours. You pedal, and everybody pedaling will keep us up in the air. And we would all say, you're crazy. We're not going to be able to keep ourselves up in the air. Thank the Lord that jets and airplanes have engines, and those engines keep us up in the air. Today, we're dealing with the topic of salvation, and can one lose his salvation? Is it possible that once you have received Christ, you have believed on Christ, you have been saved, is it possible for you to do something so bad, or so many things bad, that you could lose your salvation? That is what I want to address today. In America, the doctrine that I'm teaching on today, or the teaching, is called the doctrine of eternal security. Right? In Tagalog, what would that be, Pastor Bill?
In doctrina ng katiyakan ng kaligtasan.
Okay. And so that is what we're going to answer today. And the answer to that question is that no person can lose their salvation according to the Bible. Not according to what pastor says or your pastor says, but according to the Bible. You know, all that matters is what the Bible has to say. That's what matters. And so I want you to look at your notes. In your notes, at the top, is John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. These are very important verses as it relates to the teaching on eternal security. Jesus is speaking, and he says this, my sheep hear my voice. Oh, if you have been saved, then you ought to be listening to God's voice, which comes from what? Comes from the Bible. So my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Ooh, God knows his own. If you have believed on Jesus, Lisa has believed on Jesus, God knows Lisa by name. God knows John by name. He knows you. If you're a child of his, he knows you by name. Let's read on. And they follow me. Oh, God's children follow him. They obey his word. And I give unto them what? Eternal life. How long is that for? Forever. Forever. Let's read on. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What the picture is that once you believe in Jesus, you are placed in his hand. And here the Bible says that no man is able to pluck you out of Jesus' hand. You are secure in Jesus' hand as a believer in Christ. Let's read on. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so the Bible is teaching here that I am safe in Jesus' hand, but I am safe also in God the Father's hand. What does that mean? I have double protection. Nobody can pluck me or you, if you're a believer, out of Christ's hand or the Father's hand. Why is this true? Why is it salvation that you and I have if you've believed on Christ? Now maybe you haven't believed on Christ. Maybe you've never come and confessed to God that you're a sinner. And realize that your sin separates you from God. Then what I'm going to speak about is not true for you. It's only true for somebody that is a believer in Christ, that has been saved. Right? But number one, salvation is secure because of God's power. On your notes, 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Question for you. Listen carefully. Does it say here that you are kept by doing good? Does the Bible say that you, if you're a believer in Christ, are kept, or your salvation is kept, by you continuing to do good? No. The Bible says that your salvation is kept by what? The power of God. That means that God is in charge of keeping your salvation. Now, let me explain something as far as an error that is connected to this truth. Some people think that when I get saved, because God has saved me, I can live any way that I want. I can talk any way that I want. Is that the way we ought to live as Christians? No. God saved us, and because God saved us, we ought to have a thankful attitude that says, God, because you saved me, I want to please you. But we still do wrong, don't we? We still choose to sin at times. We choose to use wrong words. We have bad attitudes. We go wrong places. All of those things. Are we kept by doing good? No, we're kept by the power of God. Your salvation is not secure because you go to church. Your salvation is secure because God keeps your salvation. Number two. Salvation is secure because of the Holy Spirit of promise. I want you to look at the verses there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. The Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Pastor Bill has probably taught you about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 4 that you are sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. If you were to go out and you were to buy a car, John, what kind of car would you get?
Lamborghini.
Okay. Right? In order to get that car, the dealership, or the people selling it, they tell you, I want some money down. Okay? We call it a down payment. Okay? What Jesus gave us to secure our salvation is the Holy Spirit inside of us.
Amen.
He is the down payment, the guarantee that your salvation is kept until you die, or until Jesus comes back.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is your down payment. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. that seal is like we would put on a piece of paper. You may go to a government office and they may put something, they may stamp the piece of paper. Okay? It would be a permanent seal. You can't get it off. It's into the paper. So it is with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a permanent seal in us. And so we are kept, our salvation is secure. And the way that you and I know that is the promise of the Spirit. The Spirit is in us. Number three, salvation is secure because of preservation. Because of preservation. Look at the verse there, Psalm 37, verse number 28. Psalm 37, verse number 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. Saints is another word for believers. Believers. If you're a believer, the Bible says that God doesn't forsake his saints. He doesn't leave them. He doesn't reject them. He doesn't cast them away. He never forsakes his saints. Watch this. They are preserved, Ray. How long? Forever. How long does Christ preserve us? Forever. Forever. Your salvation is secure because of preservation. God made a choice to preserve us forever. Number four, salvation is secure because of the promise of eternal life. Wait a second, preacher. Wait a second. I have heard that you might lose eternal life if you do something really bad. Wait a second. Look at the Bible. The Bible says in John 3:16, you may know this verse quite well. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever, anyone that believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life." Question for you. When does a person get everlasting life? When he dies? When he what? When he receives Christ. At that moment in time, he gets everlasting life. Now, I have another question to ask you. Think with me this morning. If it's everlasting, and I can lose it, is it everlasting?
No.
So if you hear a teaching, or you hear a preacher, or you hear somebody else say that you can lose your salvation if you do something bad, or if you don't go to church for a long time, or you do a lot of bad things, is that preacher teaching you the Bible?
No.
Because the Bible says you are given everlasting life at the moment of salvation. This is the doctrine of eternal security, the promise of eternal life. Look over at the next, on the back page. Look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Look at verse number 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, and then what are the next three words? That cannot lie, promised before the world began. When did God promise eternal life? Before creation. Okay? Can God lie about that? God cannot lie, the Bible says. And so the Bible says we can have hope. Now watch this. Hope may mean to you, I hope that'll happen someday. I hope that I get a Lamborghini someday. Kind of far out. But the word hope in the Bible means I'm confident about it. I'm sure of it. Okay? And that is what the Bible says about eternal life. God promises it. Because God promises it, he cannot lie. Let's look at why salvation is secure. Number five. Salvation is secure because of justification. That's a long word. I'm going to explain it. It's in the Bible. It's in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When does a person get justified? At the moment at which they are saved. Now, what does justified mean? Let's say that Kate went and she robbed a bank here. Bad thing. All right? And she went to court, and the judge said, Kate, you are guilty. Because you're guilty, I'm going to send you off to jail for 2 months. Okay? Maybe 2 years. All right? So, you're in court, and you're ready to pay the penalty. Be punished. And somebody stands up and says, Lot stands up and says, wait, I'm innocent. I didn't rob the bank. But I want to take what she did and I want to take the punishment for it. Will you charge me instead of her? And Lot takes the punishment and the judge says, Lot, you're guilty of robbing the bank. You will pay the punishment. And Kate, you can go free. You're innocent. Right? That is justification. Right? When Jesus saves you, he says, I didn't sin, but I want to take family's sin. And I want to take pastor's sin. And I took the penalty for it. Now, God, Jesus is speaking to God. God, justify Bambi. You make her innocent. You judge her as innocent. And when you are saved, when you believe on Christ, at that moment, you are justified. Now, that means God declares you innocent.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's a wonderful truth. Think about this. You robbing a bank may put you in jail for 2 months or 2 years or whatever. But our sin, where would it take us forever? It would take us to hell forever, right? And Jesus die, take our sins, so that God the Father could look down at every believer at the moment of salvation and say, you're innocent. I'm not going to judge you as being guilty. Oh, that's a wonderful truth. Once we're justified, we now have the righteousness of Christ, which is everything. We are secure because of the righteousness of Christ. Number 6, and I will not get through all of them, and so I gave you a handout so you could study the ones that I don't get to, all right? Because I knew our time would be short. Number 6, salvation is secure because of the new birth. The new birth. John chapter 3, and let's look at verse number 3. And Brandon, could you read that for me?
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Okay, so at salvation, I want to explain this truth, very important truth. Listen very carefully. Salvation is not a process. Okay? It is not, well, I've always known God. That's not salvation. Salvation is not, I pray every night before I go to bed. That is not salvation. That is not a new birth. A person that gets saved, it has a new birth. He is born again. We have had 4 children in our lives, and every one of them, my wife has had a pregnancy for 7 months, 8 months, 9 months. But at the end of that pregnancy, there is a birth. That is a moment in time. My boy was born back in 2001. He was born on April the 5th, and it was about 8 o'clock at night. It was at a hospital. We remember his birth. It was at a moment in time. It wasn't a long time. It wasn't for years that he was born. He was born at a moment in time. And hear me, if you have been saved, there is a testimony you are able to tell others of when you were born again. For me, I was 9 years old. I was sitting in a Sunday night service. Our preacher was preaching, like I'm teaching and preaching today. Our preacher was preaching on heaven. He explained in the message how to be saved. The Holy Spirit worked in my heart and said, you need to be saved. You need to believe on Jesus. You're a sinner. And you can't fix your sin problem. Only Jesus, who died and rose again, can take all your sins away. And that night, in that service, I went forward and I prayed and told and admitted to God that I was a sinner and that I needed Him to save me and that I believed on His Son, Jesus Christ. Question. Have you? If I had a chance to interview you, put a mic up to your mouth and say, could you give me a testimony of being born again? Do you have one? Do you have a place? Do you have a time? Do you remember when you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit told you, you need to be saved? You need to believe on Jesus Christ. You see, the new birth is a permanent thing. It brings new life. There's no undoing a new birth. I can't go back to April 2001 and say, son, I don't want you born. I've got to unborn you. That doesn't work, does it? Neither does it work for God to say, I saved you, now I need to unsave you. No. No, because of the new birth, our salvation is secure. So there are two other things here. Because of the finished work of Christ, and because we are adopted as children. May I close with this in the conclusion? There are people that possess Christ. They have Him. There are people that profess Christ. They talk about Christ. They believe that He exists. But they do not have Him. They do not possess Him. They have not believed on Him. Then there are people that are pretenders of Christ. They have a form of religion. They have statues that they worship, images, things on their walls and in their homes, but they do not believe in Christ alone. My question as I close our lesson today, turn it over to Pastor Bill, is this. Are you a possessor? We have Christ, you don't. Salvation is secure, if that's true. Are you a professor? You talk about Him. You believe that He exists, that He was a good man, but you have never put your complete faith in Him. Are you a pretender? You have images. You have rituals. You have certain things that you do that's part of your life, but you do not believe in Him alone. You believe in Him plus something else. My friend, the person whose salvation is secure is the one that possesses Him. The one that has Him in their heart. So, leave today knowing that if you're saved, your salvation is completely secure forever.